Amen.
Amen. Can I encourage our musicians? Would you like to come and sit at the front? Because I've got some pictures up on the screen, and that helps. Then of course, they can't get up to mischief behind me, you know, putting horns on my head or whatever. Yeah.
Lovely. See some good things. Right. Great. Thank you. Well, as Christopher said, today is the first in a new sort of occasional autumn series that I planned, 4 sermons on how to read the Bible. Why that topic? Well, some of you will know this is the year of the Bible. It's 400 years since the authorized version, the King James Bible, was published in 1611. And you may have seen exhibitions about the authorized version. We went to one in Hatfield House, for instance, where they've got one of the early first editions, one of the only first editions that are still around. Angela Green in Oldham is going to put on an exhibition about the authorized version October 22nd to 23rd, Saturday and Sunday. And the authorized version, of course, made the Bible available, commonly available to most people. For the first time, people could get hold of a Bible and own one and have one in their homes. Today, of course, we've got so many Bibles, but we don't open them and we don't read them. And that's really what this series is all about. And it's an occasional series because it's not every Sunday, but as Christopher said, about one Sunday in each month. So today, September 25th, and then October 23rd, and then November 6th, and then December the 11th. That's the plan, anyway. All plans of mice and men go astray occasionally, don't they? And I've structured the series in 3 dimensions, which I'm going to call height, width, and depth. If you assemble flat pack furniture, you'll feel immediately at home with that, I'm sure. So, in every one of the sermons, every sermon out of the 4, we'll look at 3 dimensions. And when I talk about height, I mean a method of travelling from the Bible's culture up to our own situation and culture today in 2011. And by width, I mean the contents of the Bible from Genesis through to Revelation. And by depth, I mean different ways that we can approach the contents and scan across the Bible, different questions that we might ask of each book of the Bible. So first, what I've called height, getting from the Bible's culture up to our culture today. Sometimes we may read a favourite verse. There was one actually in that new song, To God Be the Glory, wasn't there? It's built on that verse, God so loved the world that he sent his only son. And we may think, oh yeah, I understand that. That's simple enough. I get what that means. We're happy that we grasp it. But in truth, all the verses from the Bible come from a different culture. 2,000 years ago, 2,000 miles away, and a very different way of living to our way of living. And many of those words actually have quite different meanings to the writer who wrote them and to the readers who first heard them. When they thought of God, they probably would have had different thoughts in mind. When they thought of love, they would have had different applications in mind. When they thought of the world, they would have seen it differently to us. So to read the Bible better, I'm going to suggest a little 4-stage process to get from the Bible's culture to ours. First of all, at the base, we simply need to read the Bible text. In other words, not sort of put my thoughts and guesses into it, my own meanings, my own interpretations straight away, but just read the words and pick out words. Perhaps ask yourself simple questions like, what is that actually saying? What actually happened? What does the writer mean? So that's the second stage then, asked what did the writer say and what would the readers have heard? What did the author mean when he wrote those words down? And then the third stage, what are the principles that come out of it? What do we learn about God, for example? What do we learn about human beings? What do we learn about our world and life within it? And only then, fourthly, do we put up how it might apply today. How could we actually put that into practice today? And I'll go through that a little more in future weeks. It's what we mean when we talk about interpreting the scriptures, or the scholars call it hermeneutics. Critics may say, well, that gives you a bit of latitude, doesn't it? You could read what you like into the text if you so fancied. But I think if you're seeking God's truth, if your motives are good and careful, then that sort of process will bring greater understanding of Scripture. We'll come back to it later, as I say. So that, if you like, is the height, how to get from the Bible's culture to our culture. Secondly, let's look just briefly at what I've called width, the contents of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. You should find a Bible within reach, so do just open it up, if you would. And if you go right to the first page or so, you should find a thick fly leaf, perhaps, or perhaps that's hidden under the plastic covers. And then you should find a couple of title pages, and then the preface, which is a couple of pages. And then, this is the page I really want to get to that says contents. Very vital page. It's 1-9 in Roman numerals, which publishers commonly use for the pages before the book itself begins. If you found the Old Testament or Genesis, then you've gone too far, so go back a page. Have a look at that contents page, if you would, because I think it's one of the most useful pages in the Bible, because it shows you at a glance what's in there, the whole spread of books of the Bible. And it also tells you what page to find it on. So if somebody says the reading is from the book of Nehemiah, and you think, oh my goodness, I don't know where that is, have a look at the contents page. There's no shame in it. I look at it. And it tells you how to get there quickly. It also, I think, helps you to find your way around the Bible. So you begin to understand what's in there. It'll save you trouble, and it'll help you to learn what's in there. The first five books there, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, those in Greek are called the Pentateuch, the five books. They're called the Law by most English scholars and Jewish people in England. In Hebrew, Torah, which is the Hebrew for law. And those were traditionally said to have been written by Moses. Traditionally, that was about God's law handed down to the people. Then there are the history books, Joshua, Judges, and so on, right through to Esther, page 501 there. Quite a lot of history. And then the wisdom books, from Job through Psalms and Proverbs, which was we heard that as our reading, and Ecclesiastes and Song of Songs. And then the prophets, from Isaiah through to Malachi. So you can see it's in sort of sections there. And then, of course, the New Testament, which we're perhaps a little more familiar with, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, and Acts, which is like sort of Luke chapter 2, if you like, Luke part 2. And then, of course, the epistles, the letters, from Romans right through to Jude. And then Revelation, in a way, at the end, is in a category of its own. Let's take the example of our readings today. Would you open up page 660, our reading from Proverbs 24. And very grateful to Derek for printing the readings in the newsletter. But it is good occasionally, isn't it, to find your way around your own Bible so you know how it appears. And you can see the bits in front and behind as well. So, page 660. Proverbs, as I said, is part of the wisdom literature in the middle of the Old Testament. And you'll note the heading here, Further Sayings of the Wise. Verse 27 gives a command. Finish your outdoor work and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. But it isn't really law in the same way as thou shalt not kill or something. It's more sort of advice. If you want to get on in life, this is one good way to do it. Hints and tips for wise living. Advice to plant crops so you can eat while you're building your house. Now, actually, in our colder climate in Britain, you might actually need shelter a bit more urgently. So perhaps Proverbs might say today, quick, put a roof up to shelter you from the rain, then you can start going out and planting in the fields or whatever. So understanding the culture is important. This was a hot country where crops were vital to life. Again, verse 30 might sound like history, but in fact it's not a dated event of something that actually happened, but it's a story to illustrate wisdom, to show what happens to slackers and how things go wrong for them. And the sluggard is a wonderful theme in Proverbs. It's a great word, isn't it? And Proverbs talks about what goes wrong if you're lazy and if you don't work. Proverbs are usually principles for right living. And they were traditionally thought to be written by King Solomon in a time of security and prosperity. But there are some parts of the wisdom literature, like Job and some of the Psalms, that actually contain complaints because God's people are suffering and the wicked seem to be winning and getting away with it and so on. Just turn on briefly to page 971, which was our New Testament reading from Matthew chapter 6. You can find there something like Proverbs from Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. But these are actually kingdom principles. And Jesus here is going against the culture, against the received wisdom. He's saying this is the way the world works, but the kingdom works differently to that. Proverbs might advise you, for example, to save for a rainy day. But Jesus says don't store up treasure on earth. True kingdom wisdom says store up treasure in heaven with God. So the point is there's enormous width in the Bible, different kinds of literature to be read in different ways. And to start with, that may be a little bit overwhelming and perplexing. But if you use the contents page and if you read it, then you'll begin to grasp what's going on in the width of Scripture. And then third, what I've called the depth of Scripture. Different ways to approach the contents and scan across the Bible. Different questions to ask of each book of the Bible. And this week we've been looking briefly at what's in the Bible. What are the contents? Scanning across to see the different types of writing that are there. Next time, we'll look at different speeds that you can read the Bible, from a quick view across it all to sort of zooming in on a particular word or phrase. And then, the following month, there's all the different kinds of helps and assistance that's available, like dictionaries and commentaries and even websites, dare we say it today. And then finally, we'll look at some of the big stories, some of the big themes across the Bible. It's a great book, isn't it, to celebrate this year in the 400th anniversary of the Authorized Version. The Bible's been described as God's only published work. And why wouldn't you want to read that? Why wouldn't you want to know what the author of creation wanted to tell you and what he wrote? So read the Bible. Really read it. Get to know it. And you'll be equipped not only for life, but also for eternal life. It's a treasure, and it's not to be passed by or neglected.